Number 17. First Kings chapter 17. Let me say to you today, folks, how much we appreciate you this week. It's been a blessing to us to be here. People say, well, you're a blessing. You'll never know how much a blessing you've been to us. But can I just be honest and transparent with you? A lot of places I go, folks look at me like I'm crazy, which is normal, you know, amen. But the openness here, the friendship, I appreciate it. I really do. There's some places that I tell people, you said, you go there to help them. I said, yeah, I try, but it seems like they help us a whole lot more than I think we ever help them. So we want to thank you tonight. And thank you for everything you've done for us this week, and it's been a blessing. Pray for us. We'll get home sometime tomorrow. I get a couple appointments on the way home, and then home Tuesday, Wednesday, fly to Pensacola, Florida on Thursday. Be there Thursday and Friday. Start a meeting in Ocean Springs, Mississippi on Sunday. Preach through there on Thursday night. Fly home on Friday. Preach a missions day for a good friend of mine in West Virginia on Sunday. Go to Hagerstown, Maryland, to Pennsylvania. Come home from there and fly back to Florida, from Florida to Alabama, from Alabama to Connecticut. Then we get to breathe, amen? For 2 days, amen. Then we go to Washington, PA, amen, huh? And that'll put us into April, last of April. We got 4 meetings in April. I believe it's the second week of April through the 14th. I think it starts the 9th or 10th through the 14th. We'll be at Lake Milton Baptist Temple, Brother Aaron Dowler, just down the road. So pray for the meeting in April. It's in April. It's April, I think, the 10th through the 14th. Starts a Wednesday, goes through Sunday. And be over there. Then we finish up, looks like now, maybe in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'll finish up there on Sunday and fly to Trinidad on Tuesday. And be in Trinidad, then we're going to be in Mexico in June, Moldova in August. Somewhere in April, I have to make 2 trips to Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina. So it's going to be a fun year, amen? I love it, amen? I'd rather wear out than rust out. Amen? You say, preacher, you like what you do. Yeah, I do, amen? I sure do, or I wouldn't be doing it, amen? Sometimes my wife looks at me, you know, and shakes her head. Pray for the church up there in Connecticut. We're going to be with Brother Tom Bish in Wallingford, Connecticut. Great church. I think you're running about 240, 250. Their faith promise this year is $140,000. And they had 31 inches of snow yesterday. I talked to him yesterday. He's a preacher. He said, it's crazy, man. He said the guy was staying at the church plowing the snow. He'd go out every hour and plow the snow, and he said he went out one time, and he said you couldn't even see the parking lot to plow the snow. So he said he went back in, sat down there for a while. He went back out. He said he couldn't find the truck. It was just under snow. So they're there, but a great church, just a great heart for the Lord. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your pastor, his family. Don't ever come say anything about him to me. Because you don't know what I have on me. Amen. At any time. But I appreciate your pastor. Brother Black kept saying, you need to come meet my preacher. You need to come meet my preacher. And so, first time we tried it, it didn't work. And man, I wish it had worked out a lot of years ago, brother. There's a few people in this world that God knits your heart to. Did it in one day with your pastor. Amen. You find a few friends like that in your life, you'll be blessed. Amen. I appreciate Brother Ballard. What a tremendous man of God. Amen. Now, I got one other thing I want you to do for me. Mark August the 5th through the 9th on your calendar. I want you to do something for me. I want you to send your preacher and Brother Ballard over to New Philadelphia. On a Tuesday, a Monday and a Tuesday, that's our training classes for our missionaries, our chaplains. Looks like right now we already have, I think, 9 missionary families signed up to be there. will have 14 or 15 military chaplains. They come in their dress uniforms. It'll crank you up, son. I'm telling you what, more than you need anything you ever think. But on Monday and Tuesday, we're having special days. We're inviting pastors to see what we're doing with the work. And we're going to take some of these men. Brother David Sorensen will be there teaching on the King James Bible. Just men that God has given us. I'm trying to get it located. If I can get Brother Chuck Cofty to come preach. He's a retired lieutenant colonel out of the Marine Corps. He loves what we do. And, God sent us men. Brother Lonnie Moore, one of the most dynamic soloists you've ever been around in your life. But preach some of the best stuff on the home you've ever been around. See, we cover the whole gamut with these missionaries and chaplains. We've got lawyers that come in. We have insurance specialists. We have tax experts. They all come in. Can I just make you mad tonight? You know what aggravates the fire out of me? I'm listening to a man the other day talk about the mission board that he's with. That it cost him $300 a month in fees for them to do what he does. To clear their support. Or they do his taxes for him. He pays $300 a month. Why? That's what I want to know. We're doing the same thing they do, and it don't cost them nothing. Amen. Hello? See, because when you get outside the local church, that's what you got a problem with, amen?
Right.
When you got your little building down the road and it's not at the church, then you've got to maintain that building and you've got to maintain the staff. But when you're where the God wants you to be at a local church,
yeah.
Amen?
Got it. Amen.
Hello?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Christian schools outside of a local church, they're the most ungodly
you're
things
right.
you've ever been around in your life.
Yeah.
They got more problems they know what to do with because
right.
they don't have an authority.
Right.
Amen? Well, mission boards that operate outside of local churches, you don't have an authority. You can say whatever you want, but you don't have an authority.
Right.
Because there's only one authority other than the Word of God in this world, and it's called God's church.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Oh, I want your pastor and Brother Ballard to see it. I want you to see. It's not a fly-by-night operation, folks. I don't care what anybody knows about what we do. We cleared and sent to missionaries $3.1 million last year. Never charged them a dime. Hello? That's the way it should be, amen. That's what we do, and so we're excited about it. So if you would, mark those dates, send your preacher, Brother Ballard, to us, and we'll try to send them back fat and ready to go, amen. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually, amen. Some of the greatest days of our life are those weeks, that week. It is God shows up. You can't help but God show up. You get that many God's men in the same place that have sold out to God. Amen? Look here in 1 Kings 17. I got to get here and get done tonight. Some of you have been here all week. You need to go home and rest. You got to go to work in the morning. I everything keeps coming to my mind. You sang those songs tonight. Brother John, you and Billy sang that song. You know, they said that when William Carey died, that he sat down on the edge of his bed, took off his shoes, laid back on the bed, and died. And they said they came out carrying his shoes, and all they would say was, "Who's going to fill his shoes?"
Yeah.
Right. When Leonard Ravenhill died, and I'm not promoting that Leonard Ravenhill was a Presbyterian and all that stuff, but wrote some of the greatest books on revival in America. When Leonard Ravenhill died, they said that hundreds and hundreds of people came by his casket, and his wife stood at the head of the casket weeping. And they said, "Well, sis, you know, we know it's a great loss." She said, "That's not it. I know where he's at." She said, "I want to know who's going to pray for America now."
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Bevington probably... It's been 25, 26 years ago, him and his wife came to Gypsy, West Virginia and helped us put Bibles together. When I was the pastor of the Bible Baptist Fellowship Church in Gypsy, West Virginia. Who's going to fill their shoes?
Yeah.
Now look here in 1 Kings 17. I want to try to just give you something. I'm going to try to be nice tonight. Amen? Now, you notice I said try. Amen. Now look here in 1 Kings 17. You know the story. He says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and you know the story, God sends him down to the brook, and he feeds him there at the brook. And I love verse number 5. You got to underline this, make it your life verse. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. If we could just get everybody in this room to do according to the word of the Lord, what God tells them to do, we could turn the world upside down for God. Amen. Now, I just want to preach. Now, go on, little father. And it says down here in verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, now watch these verses, and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now I have determined that this widow woman was an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist.
Yeah.
Amen. Because here comes the man of God who God has said go over there. And notice this verse. When God told him to go over there to Zarephath, he said, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, in verse number 9, and dwell there. Behold, I have asked. I have pleaded with. I have said, if you feel like it, do it. No. He said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Can I say to you today, folks, that giving to missions, being involved in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a request from Jesus Christ. It is a command. Amen.
Amen.
Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Hey, folks, it's not a request. It's not a plea. It is a command of God. Amen. That's just like this widow woman. Hey, see, this widow woman in this passage of Scripture is a picture of the church. See, this widow woman, she is a bride without her husband present. Amen? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. You know what we are? We're the bride of Christ today. Our husband's not present. Amen? And God sends His children by us, and He has commanded us to sustain them. Amen?
Yes.
Now watch this. I want you to see some things in this passage of Scripture. You say, why do you think she was an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist? Because watch what Elijah says. Elijah says, he said, fetch me a little water. And she goes to fetch the water. And what does Elijah say in verse 11? And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, what? A morsel. And then what does she say? She looks at him and says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake. Now there's a big difference between a morsel and a cake. Amen. I mean, you go out there on that table, there's a cake sitting out there, and then there's other little plates of slices of cake. I got news for you. There's a whole lot of difference between a little bit of a corner of a piece of a morsel of a bread than a whole cake. He didn't ask for the whole thing. He asked for a little bit of it, and she turned and looked at him and said, "But as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake." He didn't ask for a cake. Hey, God is not asking for everything you got in giving to missions. He's just asking for a little bit. Amen. But yet we turn and look at God like God wants everything we got. God doesn't want everything you got. He just wants a little bit of it. And God takes your little bit and my little bit and everybody else's little bit and puts it together and reaches the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Elijah begins to teach us some things in this passage of Scripture. It is interesting if you realize that when God sent Elijah to the widow at Zarephath, He sent a Jew to a non-Jew. Hello? He sent him to somebody who wasn't his people. When God sends missionaries by here, He sends somebody that is not normally of our people, amen, for us to help them. Now, there's three things in this passage of Scripture I want to give you real quick. That if you're going to learn something from Elijah and what God set up in this passage of Scripture, you're going to have to learn these three things. And what I want you to get to is down at the bottom, at verse number 16, when he said, "And the barrel meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail." Verse 15, "And she and he and her house did eat many days." Hey, folks, you ever think about this? There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'll get to the thought in just a minute. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He said that we are to give, and he said that out of that which we have. Amen? And when that widow woman reached in that barrel that day, and she scraped the bottom of that barrel, and she pulled out that little bit of meal that was left, and she made Elijah cake, and she took that cruse oil and she turned it up and poured it and made Elijah that cake. When she took that cake out and gave it to Elijah, she knew when she did that that there was not going to be enough left back there in that barrel to feed her and her son. She had to perform the doing of it out of that which she had. Yeah. And when she went back there, what was the blessing of God? It didn't say the barrel ran over. It didn't say the cruse of oil was flowing out the top. It just said that it never failed. It never wasted. It never ran out. That God kept putting it in. And God kept putting it in. And God kept putting it in. And when I'm telling you what, when you scrape the bottom of that barrel and you do what God tells you to do, understand something. When you go back there and there's still something in there, you're well beyond what is in your power. Paul, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 8, this they did. He said they gave to their power and beyond their power. And you know what that day two was in that widow woman's life? She was living on the leftovers.
Yeah.
Huh? She'd already fed Elijah and her son and her, and what was left over, God just kept putting it in there and kept putting it in there and kept putting it in there and kept putting it in there. And when the Bible says many days, I don't know how many days that was. I don't know if it's 15, 20, 30, 40. I don't know. Could have been a year. Who knows? It just doesn't matter to God. God just keeps putting it in there. But I don't know about you. I'd rather go ahead and give God what's His and do what I'm supposed to do when I don't think I can do it and let God put it in that barrel and live on the leftovers.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I like leftovers. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We had turkey today. I'm going to tell you what. Do you want the best thing about Thanksgiving Day? Yeah, the turkey at Thanksgiving dinner is all right. But it's that night when you take that homemade bread and you cut you two slices of it and you take that leftover turkey and you put it in there and you put some salad dressing on there, mayonnaise on there, a little bit of salt, and heat that thing up in a microwave and you'll kiss your mother-in-law for eating that. Amen. Hallelujah. I like leftovers, amen.
Amen.
Especially God's leftovers.
Yeah. Amen.
Uh-huh. And that widow woman was living on the leftovers. How do you get there, preacher? Number one, look at this. What does Elijah say to her? He says in verse 13, "Fear not, go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first." Write this down. The first step to living on the leftovers is God gets his first. He didn't say, "Seek ye second the kingdom of God." He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all these things. If you read that passage of scripture, he said, "You're not to worry about what you wear. You're not to worry about what you eat. You're not supposed to worry about what you where you live." He said that you know your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things already. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Hey, folks, when you put God first, he said we're to honor God with the first fruits of all thine increase. Why? In Proverbs chapter 3, he said, "So then shall thy barns be full," amen, "and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine." Hey, folks, listen. When you give God his first, he's obligated, amen. But you're never going to live on the leftovers till you give God his first. That's why tithing is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, God, this one's yours. Amen. Tithing is number one, this is yours, God. Right. Hey, go through the Bible. He hallowed the first fruits. He hallowed the firstborn. He hallowed the first of everything in the Bible. It's important to God. Why? God is trying to tell us, I get mine first. Can I tell you what? If you'll learn, young people, to give God not just the first fruits of your material things, but give God the first hours of your day, give God the first energy of your life, give God the first thoughts of your mind, give God first in everything you have, God will do great things in your life. Yeah. How do you get to living on the leftovers, preacher? You give God his first. Is that what we do? Doesn't mean we pay the gas bill. Doesn't mean we pay the electric bill. Doesn't mean we go to the grocery store and then write our tithe. Hello? Doesn't mean we do all that, write our tithe, and then go to the grocery store, then go to the, and then give our missions offering. Can I just interject one thought? If that widow woman was involved in church at all in her life, and or religion at all in her life, she'd already tithed. What she was giving Elijah was beyond her tithe. You go to Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10. I don't have time to go there. When God sent out the 12 in Luke 9 and the 70 in Luke chapter 10, it says that he went out there and said, don't take any extra clothes. Don't take any extra money. You go into that city. You enter into that house. You eat and drink such as they have because the labor is worthy of his hire. I got news for you. When those men came to that house and they took them into their house and they fed them meals and they put clothes on their back, it wasn't their tithe that they were using to do that. They'd already given their tithe. It's over and above your tithe. So missions come, if tithe comes, missions comes, and when you put God first, you say, but preacher, how am I going to pay the school bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? You get to living on the leftovers, and the only way you get to the leftovers is you got to give God his first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Now watch this. Here's the key to this thing. Now watch. Come back here. You give God what's his first. Notice what it says in verse number 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did it eat many days. She went and did. You give God his first. And you got to do it by faith. Hello? You got to do it by faith.
Yes.
Can I tell you that when that widow woman scraped the bottom of that barrel, can you imagine what was going through her mind? She's scraping that barrel to make Elijah a cake, a little biscuit. Don't you think God heard that? There's going to come a day in your life, Natalie. God's going to tell you to do something, and you say, I can't do that. If I do that, it'll empty my bank account. But just keep scraping.
Yep.
and do it. I'm going to embarrass her. I usually get in trouble anyhow. This lady right here, if you ever hear that, run off with the secretary of All Points Baptist Mission. I did, because that's her. I'm going to do it in a little while. I'm going to do it in the morning. We, as a family, give to missions. I started paying her a salary as the secretary so that she could pay Social Security. There's reasons for that, because if your wife does not pay 40 cores of Social Security, she can't draw your Social Security when something happens to you. Hello? So that's why she started paying it. So she started giving the missions out of what she gets. And God told her to do something the other day, and she said, I don't know if I can do this or not. But she went ahead and did it. And she said to me the other day, she said, you know, there's more money in that bank account than when I started doing it.
Amen. Amen.
Keep scratching. You go scratching that barrel. You say, but preacher, how do you do that? By faith. How did that woman do that? She had to do that. She had to scrape that barrel. She had to take that cake, knowing, leaving that barrel there, knowing when she gave that to Elijah, there was not enough left in there to sustain her and her son. But she had to trust the Word of God. She had to trust the man of God. Hey, listen tonight. You can trust the Word of God tonight. The Word of God is true. Amen. Just do it. And when you do it, by faith, God's going to come back behind you and start putting it in the barrel. You know what's your problem? You've been listening to too many knotheads on TV thinking this is a get-rich scheme. This is not a get-rich scheme. He didn't say, my God shall supply all your wants according to His riches in glory. He didn't say, God's going to give you a new house, a new car, and all the clothes you want according to His riches in glory. He said, my God shall supply all your need. You will not need or want for anything. Hello? But you got to do it by faith. Understand, son? Hey, man, you did a good job. Don't ever quit that, amen? Did they pick you because you can sing or because you had the only tie that matched their dress? I want to know. I have to ask them, amen? I thought, you see, it was all collar coordinated. Isn't that something, amen? I just wondered, man. I just had to ask, amen? Just learn. I had a 15-year-old son said, I want to learn to play guitar. I learned something about raising teenagers and kids. You give them everything they want. Every time they ask for it, you'll have a whole garage full of things they never did anything with.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So I told him, I said, you really want to play guitar? He said, yeah. I said, then you pray and ask God to give you a guitar. He said, I don't have money to buy it. I said, I didn't say I had money to buy it. I said, just ask God to furnish it for you. He's praying for about 2 weeks, and we're sitting there at the house one day, and a UPS truck backs up to the house, and this guy comes out with this box about this long, about this wide, and about this thick, and he says, is Alan Morrison live here? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I have a delivery for him. He handed him a box and walked, signed it, and he walked away, and he opened up that box, and guess what was in the box? Amen. It was a guitar, and a man down in Somerset, Kentucky, that had met Alan a few months before that, and Alan had expressed to him an interest in a guitar. For some unknown reason, that week, a couple weeks before that happened, walked in, told the pastor, said, God told me to give this to Alan Morrison. How do I get it to him? They gave him the address. He boxed it up and shipped it to him. UPS said, hope you enjoy it.
Amen.
When you start scraping the barrel, and by faith, well, it got quiet, didn't it? But now here's the key to this thing. Let me give this to you, and I'll wrap it all in a nice little package, and we'll go home. You got to do it by faith. Now watch back in verse 15. And it says, and she and her, and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. You know what it didn't say in there? And God gave him steak. It said the barrel of meal did not waste.
Right.
or the cruiser will fail.
Right.
You know what your problem in giving to God is? You want to tell God what to give you back.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Right.
You're not comfortable with what God furnishes some days.
Yeah.
See, you got to give God His first. You've got to do it by faith, and then you got to accept what God furnishes for you. If she'd have been like most people I know, but God, I gave to you. Don't you think you could at least give us some meat? You could have given us a bigger barrel. We want to tell God how to take care of us. When God said, just do what I tell you to do and let me show you how I'll take care of you. And you just learn to take what God furnishes. Now, listen, I have to tell you this about right now. It is funny. People have been talking about this, and the picture of those cupcakes is now on Facebook.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
My wife took a picture of that and said, for all you that know my husband, this is the blessing of God that God gave him last night. And I can imagine people are just laughing themselves silly, amen? Because they know what I think about peas. But anyhow, but you know how God works in your life? I'd said that stuff, and it's so ingrained that in my kids that they won't eat peas to this day. We started deputation. We hadn't been on deputation about a month. And this preacher said, and this family's invited us all out to eat today at their house. He said, now, preacher, you're going to enjoy it. He said, she's a marvelous cook. She sets a wonderful table. I said, okay. So we got over there, and boy, did she ever. I mean, she had this big, long table set up with a linen tablecloth and all the china and silver and everything, you know. And we're sitting there, and they said, and she said, I hope you don't mind. She said, but we're going to have a three-course meal. I thought, so that means we have meat, potatoes, amen, vegetable. No, she meant you have soup, salad, and the entree, you know. So she brings the bowl of soup out and sets it in front of me. And it's split pea soup.
Oh, I love it.
And my kids all look at me like, okay, Dad, what are you going to do now, buddy? I tell you what I did. I buried my head on the spoon and ate it. So the expression would not come out, amen. I ate it all. Because you know why? That day, that's what God furnished. Hello? Now, if I'm choosy, I am not buying them. Amen? But if God's given them, that doesn't mean I'm going home and eat them cupcakes. I got news for you, isn't it? Because there's more in that room to eat than them cupcakes, don't there? Hello? Y'all with me? Our problem with God is we're going to give as long as He gives back to us what we want. But He always knows what we need. Amen? Well, God, I want a new car. But maybe He thinks all you need is an old one. Hello? But God, that ain't what I asked for. My God shall supply all your need. The widow woman, she said, I just want to live. And she lived on the leftovers. Can I tell you today, folks, there's nothing in the world like living on the leftovers that God has prepared for us. Amen. He's got a better menu for us. He's got a better supply for us. He gives us exactly what we need and exactly what we need when we need it. Man, but you got to be willing to accept what God gives. See, some of you filled out this card thinking God's going to give you more than you could ever handle. And God may not give you back $10,000. What He might do is protect your children from some devastating disease. Or He might reach over and give you a child when the world says you can't have one.
Right.
See, God knows exactly what we need. And I would rather live on God's leftovers than on my first fruits any day of my life.
Amen.
I could tell you a thousand stories. I'll give you this one. I'm done. When I pastored a church, we lived in a house that the church rented for us. So when we stepped away as the pastor, went into mission work, I went to the people that owned the house. I said, look, you know, I don't have any support. I don't have any, you know, we can't live here. You know, I can't afford to live here. I knew what they paid, the church paid them. But I said, you know, we just can't afford to live here. The gas bill run $300 or $400 a month in the wintertime, big old house. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. We're praying about it, and a lady calls me one day, and she said, preacher, this lady from our church, she said, can you meet me at 97 2nd Street? I said, sure. So bring your family. I said, okay. Well, I knew what was at 97 2nd Street because I'd been there. Because that house belonged to her husband. His mother lived in that house, and I'd visit his mother in that house. So we drove over there to 97 2nd Street. She walked in. She said, you know, my mother-in-law died. I said, yeah. She said, we have complete control of this house. I said, okay. She said, we want to know if you want to live here. I said, well, sis, you know, we just started deputation. I don't have money. I don't know if we can pay rent or not. She said, I didn't ask you if you want to pay rent. She said, I asked you if you want to live here. Three bedrooms, two bathrooms, oak floors. We didn't have that before. Amen. And for 4.5 years, we lived in that house rent-free. 4.5 years. Raised our support, started the ministry. Our kids loved it. Now, we kept the house up, improved the house for them. But we didn't have to pay rent. I'd rather live on God's leftovers.
Yes. Yes.
Hello? She finally came to us 4.5 years later, and she said, preacher, she said, I don't know how to tell you this, but our son's getting married, and we need the house now for him to live in. I said, I understand. It's no problem. And it just happened about 3 weeks before that, that we'd been in a church preaching. One of the churches helped us, and a man said to me, he said, I run the Middletown Home Sales right up the road here. He said, I'm the manager. He said, do you ever need a place to live? He said, I'd love to help you get in a place of your own to live.
Amen.
So, well, okay, God, let's go see this guy. Long story short, 3.5, 4 months later, we moved into our own home. Now, it's no big deal. It's a double-wide manufactured home. Sitting on 2 acres of property in West Virginia. But it's home. Hello? I'd rather live on God's leftovers. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? The question is, are you living on the leftovers? Are you just cooking your own meal? Boy, got quiet right there. See, you want to do your thing. You want to do it the way you want to do it and then ask God to bless it. It's not the way this works. The way this works is you give God His first. You do it by faith. You accept what He furnishes and you live on the leftovers. I'm telling you, there's no greater life in the world. I'll tell you this. A young man I was talking about prayed for a guitar. Went off to Bible college, Massillon Baptist College. We had bought a little Chevy Cavalier for the kids to drive. You know, one of them drove it when they worked. The next one drove it when they worked. Alan was the last one. He ended up with it. He decides he'll take it off to Bible college. Except, you know, it wasn't just exactly what he wanted. You know, when you're 19, you don't want to drive some old ratty-looking Chevy Cavalier, you know. He began to pray. That's what I thought, sis, but anyhow. So he calls me one day and he said, Dad, I believe I said, I know what I want. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, I've asked God. He said, I've talked to him. He said, I want to. He said, what I want is a Subaru Legacy. I said, well, what you want and what you're going to get may be two things, amen. I said, come on, let's go look at them. So I took him out one day to look at them. And we looked at them. I mean, old, used ones. I'm not talking about anything new, just used ones, you know. And he said, man, them things are expensive. I said, yep, they sure are.
Yep.
All of a sudden, driving Dad's Cavalier wasn't so bad, amen. So we're in Florida, and he calls me one night, and he said, hey, Dad, he said, guess what? I said, what? He said, Brother Vaughn came by tonight. I said, yeah, how's Brother Vaughn doing? He said, good. He said, he's sitting behind me in church. And he leaned over and he said in the song service, he said, hey, Alan, said, I need to ask you a question. Do you need a car? Alan said, well, yeah, why? He said, I've been praying about it. He said, well, I got one I need to get rid of. And he said, I thought maybe you could use it. I'd make you a deal and a half one. And he said, well, what kind of car is it? And he said, it's a Subaru Legacy. Long story short, that guy lives in our town. I got back from Florida. He called me up. He said, Alan's interested in this car. I drove over and looked at it. Man, he made him a tremendous deal on it. And I picked up the Subaru Legacy in West Virginia and drove it to Ohio. Now, the fun thing was it was a standard. Alan never drove a standard in his life.
Wow.
And I pulled that car into the parking lot. I said, here it is. He said, man, it's what I prayed for, Dad. I said, well, good. I'm glad you prayed for it. Now, how are you going to drive it? I said, now I got 45 minutes of time. I got to leave here and go to the next place I got to be. I said, get in this thing. I'm going to give you a crash lesson on how to drive a standard. And he jerked and beat me to death around the parking lot of the Massillon Baptist Temple for the next 30 minutes. I finally got out and said, look, I can't stand tomorrow. Here's your car. Give me the keys to mine. I'm leaving. They told stories about him pulling in the gas station and missed the pump and just go around and come back because he didn't know how to back the thing up. Amen. He drove that thing all through Bible college, drove it for 4 years after graduation as he's the assistant pastor at our home church. And God gave him the leftovers. Boy, got quiet. Living on the leftovers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night, this week. Lord, may we come to you tonight and just simply say, Lord, I'm satisfied with the leftovers. I'll take what you give. Lord, bless, please, this hour in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand our feet, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You say, preacher, God spoke to me tonight.